the authority that God's given you, the power that God's given you now, because you allow the transformation to take place in your life. How many want that today? Come on, somebody. Well, I want to go through three, and I pray that you're taking notes here today. And if you take notes, I encourage you to do that so that you can retain the information that I tell you or I give to you here today. But I want to speak to you about a transformational giver here today. And as we get into it, how many know that, like I read earlier, that people will be known by their fruit. And in Martinez, there is a lot of trees in Martinez. The first thing I noticed when I moved into Martinez, there's a lot of lemon trees, right? Big fat ones, right, Karen? Big fat ones, small ones. And then, you know, you almost don't have to go to the store. You just walk down the street and get some lemons. And there's a lot of, and I kind of looked up the history of Martinez a little bit. And they said if the refineries weren't in Martinez, it'll be a sort of like a Monterey. It would have been a beautiful place. And it is still a beautiful place, but you just got to look towards the right, not the left, right? You know, all the refineries, like, oh, Lord. But you look towards the right, you say, wow, it's beautiful. And that was a place where people would fish. They have an ice house that's still there, right, for those Martinians that live there. There was an ice house that's still there. It was a great place for fishing, and now they say don't eat the fish, right? They go, don't eat, you're eating at your own risk. Don't eat that fish. And they have a big sign there on the pier that said, don't eat the fish. But that place was super fertile. Why? Because they had a lot of vineyards. They had a lot of trees. They were growing there. And it was a place that people would come from San Francisco all the way to come fish over here to the Martinez area. They used to go fishing and catch salmon. They would catch all kinds of fish. And it was a place to get away. You see, and it was a fertile ground. And so now even today, we see that. We see it's still fertile. I believe that Martinez has the potential to reach the drug addict, where we could reach those that are hurting and lost. And there's good fruit in Martinez. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And I believe also in Concord. There's good fruit in Concord. In this place, I begin to look up the history of how many people live in Concord. And, you know, there's a good population. You know that Concord is the biggest city in the Contra Costa area, right? Did you know that? It is the biggest city. Not only that this city in the beginning was birthed by witches. And that's why you have the Willow Pass area. That's why you have the Todos Santos. They said back in the day they used to do seances at that park before it was all fixed up. They had a lot of trees there, and they would come and do seances, and they would come and gather and watch the witches come and do their practices. And so, and that's why we have what's called Mount Diablo. Did you figure that one out? Right? Mount Diablo, right? Well, why is it called Mount Diablo? Well, there were some witches involved in that. You see, and when my wife and I came to this city, we were attacked constantly because the devil knew that we were going to get treasures out of darkness, that we were going to interrupt the devil's plans in people's lives, and that we were going to be the God's what did I say on Friday? Battle axe, right? We were going to be God's battle axe to destroy the works of darkness. And on last Friday we spoke on that, and how that God was creating us to be a weapon in the hand of the Lord, so that we could be a battle axe against the works of the power of the enemy. How many want to be that battle axe? Oh, like he said, watch out. Amen. Because if you want to be that battle axe, that means you're going to go into war. And so my wife and I decided to go into war. And I remember fasting for 30 days straight, no food, just fasting. And I got to do that again. Amen. Because I'm getting some weight. But I was fasting 30 days straight. Man, it was a heavy fast. It was intercessing and praying because the devil didn't want me to have church here. I got hit so much, man. It was like a constant hit. I got hit financially, physically, spiritually, relationally. Every area I got hit. She's like, amen, right? We got hit in all areas. Our car broke down. So many things took place. But baby, I didn't give up, right? Thank God I didn't give up. Thank God my wife didn't give up. We didn't give up. Why? Because we knew what was on the other side, treasures out of darkness. This is good fruit. This is good fertile ground. And I believe out of this city and out of this county, we're going to see treasures out of darkness. I'm going to believe that here today. Am I the only one believing that? Because I believe that this area, this county, has a lot of good people in it. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you might be one of them. Hello. Yes. But I believe that revival is going to break loose in this county when there's true transformation taking place. Like I said earlier, people don't want to hear what you say. They want to see what you do. People don't want to just have words because there's many people speaking good, but people want to see you live good. That's what people want to see. Can I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
You know, how many are tired of hypocritical people?
Yeah.
Only one person. Well, we just read in Matthew, Jesus was dealing with an issue of hypocritical people.
Yeah.
And he was telling them, the disciples, he goes, look, guys, because don't worry about that. Because they were people that were well-to-do, people that were religious. And they, you know, they thought they knew the Bible more than Jesus. And they thought they knew more than those guys. But he goes, no, it's not about what they say, it's about what they do. You'll know them by their what?
Fruit.
So he goes, you'll know they're really transformed by their fruit. So what does a tree do? It gives fruit. Right? Right? If it doesn't give fruit, it's good for nothing. Hello, somebody, right? It's like, so what are you here for? You're just wasting space. But when a tree is planted by the water and he's planted and he's producing oranges and you just grab that, it's giving you a fruit of its root. Right? It's giving you the fruit of its root. It's telling you, I got something to give to you. I'm giving you an apple now to eat. I'm giving you some fruit to eat. Isn't that great? I remember I tried to plant a tree in my backyard, and the ground wasn't fertile. It was a stony ground. I tried to plant a lemon tree, and it barely produced any lemons. Matter of fact, I think it produced only one lemon. And I'm like, where's all the other lemons? And it was just like one lemon just showed up out of, I think it was 2 years. And I'm like, where's that? I watered it. How many have ever spoken to your plants? I said, just grow. I want some lemons, right? Just grow. I begin to talk to it, water it. I begin to fertilize. I got a book and said, how do I fertilize a lemon tree? And I begin to, it had one fruit. And then I just picked that one. Finally, I just left it there because I was like, okay, it's going to grow some more fruit. And I just picked that one lemon, and no other fruit grew from that. And I threw it away. You know, I was like, this is no good, right? What's the use of having a lemon tree? That's what God says. If you don't produce fruit, he's going to cut you off. You know, that's a harsh thing to say, right? But you know what? Because if you're truly a believer and transformed, you should give something now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The true attribute of a Christian is that they're giving. Did you know that? If you're a taker, I would question your salvation. You know that? If you constantly want something, you just come here to be fed. You come here, but you're not coming to serve. I believe in the beginning, yeah, you get fed. But after a while, you just want to serve. Why? Because you've been transformed from the inside out. And you want to produce something out of this, what you just learned today. And so, how many here want to be transformed? Come on, how many want some fruit here today? Well, one of the fruits that I've realized in a transformational person, somebody that's been transformed, that is that they're grateful people. I mean, you know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, but there's a story in the Bible, and it's found in Luke chapter 19, and this is the story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a short guy. How many short people we have in the house? We got one beautiful one. Amen. We got, oh, I got it. Right here. Amen. Well, this person was short. And he was the chief tax collector. In other words, he was in charge of the tax collectors. He's the one that collected from the tax collectors. He was the chief. He was the one in charge. And so he was there listening to Jesus. And then he came. And in verse 1, it talked about him seeing Jesus pass by. And then the Bible says, that described him as being rich. He was well-to-do. He collected a lot of finances. He, to be a chief tax collector, that meant that you were probably better than the tax collector. You were really good at taking people's money. Uh-oh. And so that's what he did. He was a taker maybe most of his life. He grew up taking from people. And in verse 3, he said right here, let's pick this up. I think we have it up there as well. He says, and he sought to see who Jesus was. He was curious about the Lord. He says, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was going to pass the way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay with you at your house. Do you imagine that? Jesus saw it, looked at you, and says, I'm gonna kick back at your house today. You know. Right? That's the authority that Jesus had. I see that. You know what? Come, I'm gonna kick back at your house. And I'm sure Zacchaeus had a really nice house. Right? He was well to do. Jesus, I'm gonna stay at your house. In verse 6, he says, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. How many thank God? God loves a sinner. Amen? He loves a sinner, and he's able to go into the sinner's house. In verse 8, it says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give you half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone falsely, I will restore to him fourfold. You know what he said right there? He says, you know what? Thank God you came to me, because I was probably at my worst. He was seeking Jesus. He was seeking an answer for his life. But when he finally found the answer, what did he do? His natural response was to what? Give. And not only that, he gave from, he says, I'm going to give to you half of what I got. And for those that I burned, those that I took falsely, I'm going to give them even more. I'm going to bless those. You know what that means? That person was a grateful person. You know, during this time, evaluate your heart. See where you're at. If you've really been transformed by the power of God, you would want to give of yourself, give your energy, give your finances to further the gospel. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, you'll know that you're really transformed if you show gratefulness, and the way you show gratefulness is through your giving. You know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, giving tithes, and those are the things that are important in the church, and giving offerings, because that sustains the church. Why? Because if you do that, it keeps our barns full. It keeps the storehouse full for people to come and receive hope. How many love your church, right? You love your church? Come on, raise your hand if you love your church. You know, it's because somebody gave, we have a recovery home today. Because somebody gave, we have the doors open today for somebody to come in and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. How many thank God for that? Because of grateful people that we have in the church today. Because if you've really been transformed, you naturally want to give. You naturally want to help those that have been hurting and lost. You naturally want to go to the streets and help people. It's something that you do because you've been transformed by the power of God. You know, when I begin to see that, because one of the things that I noticed being in church for a long time, I've been saved now for about, almost, I think, over 30 years. I've been saved. And one of the things I've seen people come and go. The ones that stay, I noticed a couple things. Because there's called the fruit of salvation. You'll begin to see if they're really saved. You know, some people say you won't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, always saved. And Calvinism teaching that's out there. You know, and people say that's the way people want to live. They say, well, if I've said the sinner's prayer and I come to church, I'm saved. How many know that you can still be going to hell and go to church at the same time? Right? Right? You could be in a garage. It doesn't mean you're a car. You know, am I right on that one?
Yes.
Right? And so you can come to church and you can act like you want to act and say what you want to say, but I want to see what you do. Amen. You see, that's what a true transformed person is. A person, you don't have to beg to give. They just naturally give. It's just a natural tendency that you have. Is you want to meet the need. You want to help people. You want to contribute. You want to be a blessing, even if it might even be your last dollar. It might even be the last that you got. Why? Because you're a grateful person. How many grateful people we have here today? That's the thing about being grateful. I love grateful people because you don't have to beg them to do anything. It's natural. Amen? They just do it. The second thing is this, is that you have, and when you're truly transformed, you become a servant giver. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, this is a story here about a servant giver. He was here, and there was four of them that gave to this one man. And how many know Jesus is able to rip the roof off of this place? Amen? And meet the needs. And here, Jesus was in the house. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it talked about Jesus being in a certain house. And I'll read it to you. He says, here in Capernaum, after some days, it was heard that Jesus was in the house. How many know he's in the house? In verse 2, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. So not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then all of a sudden, they were bringing a paralytic person. And that paralytic person wasn't able to get in. And then verse 4, it said this. It says, when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where they were. It says, so when they had broken through, they let down the bed in which the paralytic was lying. Now, I want you to imagine this. You got a person, paralytic, meaning that he couldn't use his body functions anymore. He's basically lifeless. And here they are, they put him on a stretcher, and just pretend this is the house, right? And you got to let me see. Come over here, Joe. Come on. You got to, let me get four guys. Let me get four of you guys. Come over here, Joe. Come over here, stand in the middle. Get four guys. Right here, AC. Come over here, AC. All right. I want you to, two guys go on each side. There's only two guys here. Go ahead, Nathan. Come over here. All right. Two on each side. Two on each side. I want you to pick him up. Come on each side. There you go. I want you to pick him up.
Pick him up.
Come on. You're afraid?
Not me.
Yeah, pick him up. Pick him up.
It's going to be harder than I thought.
I want you to take him on this side now. I want you to take him around the church now. Go ahead, take him around the church. Just play. Come back here. Bring him over here. Bring him back. Come on. See, they're having a hard time. They got mad at me because I told them to go around the church, right? You heard that, right? They're like, oh, I don't know. It was hard. Imagine them bringing them to the roof. They can't even take him down the road. The boy is not that heavy. I don't think, right? He's starting to. Amen. I'm get blessed. But imagine those four guys taking them to the roof now. Imagine they can barely go down here. They can barely. Imagine now they had to take them to the roof and bring them through. Imagine how much work that was. Think about it. That was a lot of work, right? And they knew Jesus was in the house, and they grabbed them, and they brought them, and they took them. And so I begin to read a little bit more about what the roof was made out of. And of course, they had different materials. How many construction workers we have here? Amen. If you know about construction. Well, back then, well, they had, you know, different materials that would cover the roof. You know, they had clay, they had all kinds of stuff. But it wasn't easy for them to tear the roof off. They had to go through some wood. They had to go through maybe three different layers to get the roof off. And so as they begin to tear this roof, they had to hold the guy. Right? I mean, think about how sometimes we say, oh, Jesus just tore the roof. No, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work, right? So here, they're tearing the roof. Again, and hope the guy's going to fall. They're tearing it off. Because, hold him, he's not going to fall. You know? And I'm sure the paralytic guy was scared to death. Just imagine you're getting carried up to the roof. You know, they're going to drop me, you know? Just imagine the whole story. And here they are. They tear off the roof, right? Boom. They get all this stuff. And then they hoist them down. And imagine being in the house. Imagine us being right here, and we see a guy coming down from the roof. We're like, whoa, right? Wouldn't that be a trip, right? Wouldn't that be kind of... But somebody was willing to do all the work to bring somebody to Jesus. Sometimes we don't do no work to bring anybody to Jesus. Sometimes you can't even go down the street to pick somebody up. You know, and you know, it takes work to bring people to Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, because you're hard-headed. Yes, you are. You didn't want to turn to your neighbor because you know this is the truth, right? So you're hard-headed. To get to church sometimes is really difficult. Do you know that we pass out flyers all through the neighborhood? And it takes a lot of work to pass out flyers. It takes a lot of work to set up this church. You know that? It takes us hours, right? Guys, right? You guys know? Some of you guys that are in church that volunteer to help us set up the church, and the men's home that come here late at night to help us set up the church. And, you know, I also want to wish Ryan a happy birthday. Come on, just wish him a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ryan. One of our young guys in our home. And I call you young. See, Salsabeth? He's a young guy, but he's getting his life together, and I'm really super proud of you. But he came here late yesterday on his birthday to make sure this church looked clean, right? Right? And he mopped the floors. He cleaned everything. But you know what he was doing? He was preparing us to receive Jesus. He put in some work. You see, a transformed person wants to work for Jesus. You want to put in some work. You want to be a part of the ushers team. You want to be a part of the children's church team, right? Yeah. Because why? Yeah, let me tell you, I got introduced to Jesus when I was 7. I didn't know anything about God. Somebody pulled me to the side and began to teach me the story of Jesus. And I remember even today, because it was like a magical night. I was just sitting there, and then we were just little kids playing, and then she pulled us to the side by the Christmas tree and began to share the birth of Jesus. And I was like in awe, like I never heard this story before, and I was like, wow. You know what she did? She planted a seed in my heart. And from there, I had now an understanding that there was a God in heaven that loved me, and there was a price that was paid. And so that's what children's church workers do. You have the privilege to introduce these children to Jesus for the very first time. And do you know that when you become an usher in the church, you know what you become? You become the face of the church. Even if your face is not that good looking. Amen. But it's okay. You know that there's something different about a man or woman that's in the presence of God. You start looking good, right? You start looking good. You say, yeah, I look good. I feel good. I smell good. You know, it's something about being in the presence of God. But here you are, an usher. I love what they said about Memo. Memo, you look like you're blessed and you're there. Because, you know, he's an usher at the front door. How many like Memo there at the door, right? Yeah. And he's there, a servant giver, right? He's sacrificing his worship so that you can get your worship on. Right, he's out there, right, with the little headset talking to, I don't know who he's talking to, but anyways, he always has a little earpiece on, like he's, from the FBI, right? And he's out there, but he's servant giver. He's there giving to people. He's paying the price so people can come and get blessed. Because I wanted a person there to welcome people. How many know it feels good to be welcomed, right? Yeah. Right? To come in for the very first time and somebody just hugs you or says, welcome. That's what I want you to experience in the house of God, that there's true love for you. And so Memo was one of those assigned people. And then we have Dan the man, amen, praise the Lord, in the back, that's a part of the ushers team. And he really worked hard to serving. And we have James that works hard to make sure that the home is working right. And we have a lot of people behind the scenes. We got Karen and Natty. You got my wife. You got, Monica. You got all these people behind the scenes working hard to serve us Jesus. You see what I'm saying? We're tearing the roof off so that you can have Jesus in your life. And it takes a lot of work to get you off your ground and begin to get you to the altar call so that you can be transformed in the power of his might. Victoria and the worship team, they practice over and over again, trying to get the songs right, praying for a drummer. And here we go. We got a drummer now. Hello, somebody. Praying for more musicians. But they don't just show up and know all the songs. You guys work, right? You guys practice on Wednesday. You get all the songs throughout you practice on certain days. You come on Saturday to practice, because we put in work, because we're servant givers now. Because we've been transformed. We want to serve others so that they can be what? Transformed too. You see, so we're servant givers because we've been transformed, and that's why you see all that we do and the work that you see here. It's all been given from the men's home in James, and they put a long hours of painting the walls. We paint the walls. We do all kinds of stuff. We're cleaning garbage. We're getting everything set up. Even after service, we're cleaning up. We do all this because we're servant givers. We've been transformed. Somebody say transformed. You've been transformed, and now you want to serve. You see, you're not only grateful, but you're serving. And you show your gratefulness and you show your transformation and through your serving. My wife loves to serve. She'll cook all night, all day to serve. I like Rosa. Rosa, she serves too. And she constantly serves there at the Loaves and Fishes, right? And she's there. She's there every day. They all know her for serving. Serving them food. And she, you know, she's been transformed. You know how she got transformed? Uh-oh. Let me tell you how she's been transformed. I don't know if I remember right. I'm just playing. See, AC. And when God transformed AC, God did a miracle in AC's life. And she goes, wow, if God could do that for him, God could do that for me. Yeah. See, and she came to church. You see, somebody gave to the home. Somebody had to give what? They had to give their energy, their time, their money, the sacrifice, so that we could see lives being transformed. Do you feel what I'm feeling and understand what I'm trying to get you to understand something? Because if you've really been transformed, you're going to get off your blessed behind. Come on, somebody. If you don't get it, then you don't get it. Amen. You'll figure it out later. I like your boots. It looks pretty cool. You a cowboy? Amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't know that. But get off your blessed behind, if I could say that, and start putting in some work and know that God's called us to do more than just sit. Somebody say, I'm not going to sit no more. Come on. Come on. I'm not going to sit no more. You know, and you need to learn that, you know what, part of serving God is serving. Right? Serving God is now being a part of the serving team. And let me tell you here, this year coming up in January, I believe that the Lord is going to give us a tremendous harvest. God's going to pour out his spirit like never before. I've been interceding and praying, and I believe that God's getting ready to do that. But we need some transformed people willing to serve and step it up and now become the people that God calls you to become, because there's a harvest of souls that are coming our way. There's a whole lot of people coming our way, but we need some more servers. Yeah. We need some people that are willing to serve Jesus, the people. Man. The last thing is this, the compassionate giver. I love this one. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, this is a certain man that he was there, and he was walking down the neighborhood, and he saw this person beat up. He was jumped. He was whipped. He was hurt, wounded. They took his clothes, and he was left for dead. And right there in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible mentioned this man because it was an example of compassion. And here in verse 31, it says, now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Isn't that sad? That the priest went on the other side. Why? Because he didn't want to see the need. Because he'll feel worse if he saw the need. In verse 32, he says, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side again. See, what is a Levite? He's a descendant of the Levites. He's a person, they consider him a priest, but they have a sense of entitlement. And sometimes when we feel like we're entitled to things, sometimes we don't serve others because we feel we deserved it and they don't. And so here he is, the person walked by the Samaritan, walked by this person. But he says a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine and setting him on his own animal. You know what that means? He goes, I'm going to give you my car to drive. He says, it brought him to the inn. In other words, he put him up at a hotel. Yeah. And he took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come, I will repay you.
Yeah.
This, you know what it really tells me about a compassionate giver? They take ownership of what they do. And this is what he did. He took ownership of what he was doing. In other words, because there's 2 people that passed by this guy that was hurting. But this one Samaritan stopped and says, you know what? I'm sure he had something to do. How many of you ever said, I got something to do. I don't have time for this.
Uh-oh.
Well, he stopped what he was doing. In other words, he learned this. He goes, you know what? I'm going to stop, and even if it's inconvenient. Sometimes nobody wants to be inconvenient when it comes to serving God. Well, if we're going to meet on Monday, that's the time I do my nails. That's the time I watch my special show on TV. So if we ask you to serve on a Monday, you won't show up. You see? Sometimes people act like that when they come. If it's inconvenient, then I don't want to do it. But how many know that Jesus was inconvenient when he was put on the cross for all of us? Right? And here, he was inconvenient. He was at a point where he gave to him. He put a bandage over him. He put oil over him. He gave him wine. He helped him. He healed him. And not only that, he picked him back up. He put him in a hotel. Amen, somebody. He paid money. He put him out on his car. He put on his pony, whatever he had. And he put him on there. And he took him. And he said, now, he just didn't leave. Sometimes we do that with people. He just said, now you can fend for yourself.
Uh-oh.
We just, you know, I brought you to church. Now you have to figure it out on your own. And here, he goes, you know what? Not only that, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of even when I left.
Yeah.
You see, that's taking ownership. See, in a ministry like this, I need some people that will take ownership of this church. That this is our church. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, this is our church. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them, this is my church. And take ownership of this church. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You do it. You go out of your way. And you go do what you got to do. That's the true fruit of transformation. Is somebody that will take ownership and say, yes, I've been transformed in the power of God. And now I'm going to take ownership of this ship. Somebody say amen. I'm going to take ownership of this place and know that this is a place and it's called the Holy Ghost Hospital. And I need some nurses and doctors that are willing to take care of some of those that are hurting and lost and confused and those that need Jesus. We need people that are willing to serve them. We need some nurses here. We need some people that are willing to take care of the sick, the lost, the hurting, the confused, those that have been harassed by the devil. We need people that are willing to pray and intercede and pray, get here early and intercede with us, because that's what we do. We serve you guys the presence of God when we get here early. We're here interceding and praying and believing God that the presence of God will fill this house so that when you come in, you will feel the presence right there. You will be transformed in the power of his might. You see, here, this compassionate giver, he gave not only because he had to, because he wanted to. And not only that, he took ownership of this. I pray that you take ownership of this church. I pray that everything that we do, that you would take ownership, that you would be concerned if somebody is not coming to church. Somebody once told me the other day, he goes, Pastor, where's this person? Where's that person? And I said, man, I commend you for recognizing there's people that are not here that should be here. That means you care enough. Do you care for your church? I care for I love my church. I notice when somebody's missing and somebody that's not here. Because I take ownership of this church. Because I've been transformed. I want to see other lives transformed. Do you care? Come on, somebody. Do you care enough to take ownership? And so a transformed person is a person that's transformed. You know, the person that it will sacrifice and give even when it's inconvenient. If I could have my daughter make her way up.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking at today as we end the series. I'm looking for some true transformed people here today. And there's the fruit of it. You see, if after this series you just continue to sit on your seat week after week and not ask, how can I help and serve? Then I really question your transformation. Can I keep it real?
Yeah.
Because if you're truly transformed, you want to help people get Jesus. You really want to do your part because somebody served you, Jesus. See, somebody paid for my flyer. Somebody paid. As a matter of fact, there was a guy in the men's home that was got a job as a janitor in the school that I was in. It was a college, and he used that guy to witness to me. And thank God that somebody gave to have a men's home that got the guy was transformed. And because of that transformation, he came and delivered the good news to me. You see, if you're transformed, you will give to somebody else so that they could be transformed. That's just something that's going to happen. It's a consecutive thing that continues to happen when there's true transformation taking place in the church. You see, the way we grow this church, it's not through outreaches and all those things are great, but really how we transform this church and grow this church is that when people take ownership of this church and begin to do all that you can, you go, you drive the other side of Concord to bring somebody to church. You will spend all your gas to make sure that person comes to church and receive all that God had for them. You will make sure that not only that, you save your money to take them out to lunch or take her out to lunch after service so that you can just appreciate them coming to church. You see, we need people like that. If you would bring people like those four guys that tore the roof off for this one guy. They did a lot of work to get that person in the house. Sometimes it takes a lot of work to get people in the house. It takes a lot of work to get your mama, your papa, your sister. It took a lot of work to get my dad to come to church. And I thank God he got saved the day of Easter. I thank God for that. Because, you know, I kept asking him, Dad, you're going to come to church? You're going to come to church? You're going to come to church? And sometimes you're going to have to go the extra mile to do that. Don't give up on your family because somebody didn't give up on you. Don't give up on you. Keep telling them. Keep reminding them. And especially in those moments where he says, now, are you ready? You got to let them know. You see, transformation is not only for you, but it's for the people around you. Amen. And that's what we need to know here today. The transformation, in the home, we're going to see people transform. And see, it's sad to say this, and I have to say this, not everybody in this house will make it. It's just something that happens. And see, it's you have to take everything in this house right now. So like if you're in this home right now, if I could speak to the men's home. If you're in this home right now, if you're just following the rules and you're just being a part of the program, then you probably won't transform. You're just conforming. You're not transforming. You're just conforming. In other words, you're just playing by the rules. You just want to just be right under the radar and not get in trouble. But if you take root, you take everything. If I was sitting here, I'll be like, I don't have to worry about my bills right now. I just worry about just receiving more of Jesus. If I was here in this home right now, I'll be on my knees crying out to God for my family, my children, my life that I lost through drug addiction. You see, if I was in this home, I would dedicate. And I thank God for Ryan because now he stepped it up and said, Pastor, what can I do to serve now? What can I do to serve him? I could tell a man has been transformed because automatically they want to give of themselves. Yeah. You see, but the guys in the home, some of them won't make it because they're just conforming, not transforming. Yeah. If I could keep it real, that's what we're looking for. Because if you're looking for a program, then go to another program. Amen. But if you're looking for transformation, stay in the men's home. That's right. That's what we believe in, transformation. That's why we give you the word of God here today, because we want to see you transform in the power of his might. We want to see mothers get it together. We want to see fathers get it together. We want to see a young adult, and we want to see youth get it together, on fire for Jesus. We want to see married couples get mended. We want to see families be restored. Man, transformation affects everyone. It does. It affects everyone. That's why we say to men's home, bring your family, because they need to see your transformation. Because if they see you transform, it makes them want to transform too. Yeah, yeah. How many know God is good here today? Yeah. How many know God wants to do something miraculous inside of us? Miraculous. He wants to do something that is so spectacular that people cannot doubt that this was the power of God that transformed your life. How many know that God didn't call you to be normal? God didn't call you to be normal. He called you to transform, to turn the world upside down through your life. And everybody else is out there partying. You're out there witnessing. and everybody else is doing their thing, you're doing God's thing. You see, transformation changes everything. And God begins to move in your life. Let's all stand here today.